Blog Talk Radio.
Come take a magical journey to the dawn of a new era. Unveil the mysteries behind the curtain with empathic healer Dawn Thompson.
Good afternoon, everybody. Iggy Garcia here. We're going to wait for Dawn to get on the line here. As soon as she gets on, we'll patch her through. Hopefully everybody's doing okay. I know it's been kind of an interesting set of circumstances and weathers and all kinds of cool stuff happening. I know the weather has been kind of a good reflection of how we all are. Kind of sometimes we're cold and sometimes we're hot and sometimes we're just plain old in the gloomy and wet. But yeah, so hopefully you get a chance to enjoy the weather a little bit because it's kind of nice outside, even though it's a little bit wet and rainy. But sometimes you need that. Sometimes we need the difference. We need a little bit of stuff that's a little bit out of our comfort zone, per se. But hopefully you've all had a good month, a good weekend. But hopefully we get Dawn back on. And Dawn, if you need the number, it's 646-595-3440. We'll get you back on and see what's going on and patch you through. Maybe I can call you. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe see if I can call her. And then I can patch her through. I've never used this feature before. Here we go. See if we can get her on.
Hello.
Try a new thing. Hey, how you doing? Worked.
Great. Oh, how's it going, guys?
Doing good. Well, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. Well, little Mercury retrograde show.
Yeah, I think I bypassed it on one. I think I got through there.
Perfect. See, just have to be a shamanic magician and Mercury retrograde doesn't bother you.
There we go.
Oh, it's so good to hear you and to be back on the show.
Yeah.
It's been a little while.
Yeah, I think we had a lot going on in my life. Just trying to calibrate, get back in the swing of things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And to find a new swing because your life, you know, I was watching something earlier today and I watch a guy on Mother Earth TV a lot and he said his mom was, this guy's mom who was being interviewed, his mom was diagnosed with some degenerative disease. He goes, and that day, for now on, my life is totally different. I feel that way very much about getting a puppy. Like, I thought that it'd be cute and fun, and it is. But then I went, oh, and for now on, my life is totally different. What was my life before is not to be again.
Yeah. Like having a kid, almost.
It's a little similar. Yeah, it's a little similar. It's not as intense, and, you know, it's not as intense as having a kid. It's not as expensive. So that's nice. but yeah, you're right. It's the training, the talking, the following you everywhere. Do you remember those of you who have little kids or had little kids, they even follow you into the bathroom. It's like, seriously, can I not even go to the bathroom alone? Like, are you kidding me right now? And it's so worth it, you know. It's like, it's so funny. I have all these friends who are having babies for the first time, and I'm thinking, so glad it's not me. Oh my God, all that responsibility. But it's such a wonderful blessing, you know. It's that thing about polarity, that things that are really, really hard in life end up being some of the biggest blessings.
Sure. I can relate.
You have a lot of blessings in your life. A lot of little ones.
Yeah. Not going to discount that, that's for sure. Yes, I do.
Well, this will be my first radio show with having the puppy, so we'll see. Hopefully it doesn't destroy the house, but I have, let's see, what was Spirit saying. He was saying, or Spirit brought out one of the Don Miguel Ríos books, which, Iggy, I know you're familiar, I believe I've heard you talk about him. And this one is The Mastery of Love. So, you know, some point within the hour, I'd like to kind of call on Spirit and open it up and read from it. I love doing that, just see what the message is there, because that came through. It's just at the top of the book, so it's called The Mastery of Love, and at the top it says The Practical Guide to the Art of Relationship. So it's a wisdom book. So that, and then I have the Fairy deck that wanted to, which is a nice light deck. You know, it's time for some light energy. So I've got that out for our, you know, collective reading, or if we get some calls and want to do little readings. March went really, really well for my phone readings, and I was glad for that because I wanted people to know. I held a really inexpensive sale on a great sale on phone readings, just to show people that, you know, the phone in person or on phone, like both are just as, you know, accurate. And so I know there's this thing where people are like, I don't know if phone calls are as accurate, but sometimes I believe I can go even deeper further because I'm in my own energy field in my room and I'm not, you know, like worrying about or empathically picking up other people's feelings and doubts and stuff. So anyways, that went really well. And I do feel like, you know, as a medicine person, that my medicine has integrated and changed frequencies. And I don't know if anyone's listened to the other shows or anyone that knows me, but I was going through really high, intense anxiety and panic attacks. And I was this was about an 8-month process where it came out of nowhere. I remember the day, June 11th, and it's transmuted. And I love that word. I say that rather than healing, because healing is like, you know, you broke your arm and then it heals. But what I think of, you know, panicking and anxiety, it's come into my life and left, come into my life. And I don't want to say, oh, it's healed, it's gone, you know, it's unless someone comes and breaks my bone again, you know, it's totally healed. Because emotional stuff doesn't seem to work like that. But transmuted, I looked up the definition, and it's very much alchemy. It's very much about taking something that was painful or messy and using alchemy to train, you know, kind of like, what was that little guy who used to spin straw into gold? Rumpelstiltskin.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Yep. So I Rumpelstiltskin that fear and anxiety. And I don't want to say I as if I did that personally, because I don't think that my ego did that at all. My ego was scared shitless during that whole process. But what did come out is a wonderful channeled, towards the end, after I was transmuting that time period, I went to a ginormous medicine circle, and about 80% of the people there said they were struggling with anxiety. So I downloaded and created a course for anxiety, which will be up on my website, and I'm teaching at the Salt Cave once a month. So just wanted to share that, because that's kind of the biggest thing that's happened in the last couple months. And I know, you know, that people struggle with that, and that you can feel so freaking, have you ever had it, Iggy? It's so powerless, like a panic attack, anxiety. There's like a powerlessness around that.
Yeah, I've been there. There's times you just feel like you can't move, or your feet are stuck in cement energetically. Not a lot, but from time to time you get that. I think that's the human aspect of us trying to figure things out.
Precisely. The human part is what I, again, Guy MTV, some guy interviewed a woman, and it was actually Regina Meredith. She runs the show Open Minds, which if you like this show, you will love Open Minds with Regina Meredith. And she was talking about how our luminous bodies, our spirit bodies, when the earth was creating and forming, it kept visiting earth. I just love this story. It kept visiting earth and going, man, this place is kind of cool. Ooh, look at that waterfall. And as the frequencies and dimensions were starting to solidify and come into their own, and it was a little harder to get in and out of this dimension to where we're from, some of us chose to stay here, and those are the people who maintained a lot of their memories, and then some people got stuck here, and we got stuck in animal bodies. And I freaking loved that, because I was like, that makes so much sense to me. We have these, you know, here I had this primal fear, and as a medicine woman, I'm like, I get, like, I've seen spirits, I've seen past lives, like, I get we're eternal. Why the F am I so scared to die right now when it's, like, totally fine if I do? Because that animal in me is like, no, it's just, you know, it's about finding that bridge between the two. Such interesting perspective, but I thought that was kind of cool.
That's good.
There we go. All right. Well, would anyone care to meditate with me? I would love to meditate. I haven't done it in a while. I think the puppy is happy with his bone, and I would love to do, you know, a check-in, a rebalancing. We're at midweek, mid-time, midweek. So let's kind of check in, starting with our midsection then. That place of our body, like solar plexus, belly, lower chest, that part. Talk about the bridge between above and below, animal and our higher consciousness. Let's check in with that place, that special place that bridges our more primal body with our etheric body. And when I say check in, I mean be curious, go into it. Notice any tightness in your diaphragm. Your belly is right underneath your diaphragm. So kind of check in with that. Are you digesting properly? Have you been through so much that the digestion has been upset? Does it need support in digesting all that you've just witnessed and been through? The digestion does so much transmutation work for us. It is the ultimate alchemist, turning food into gold, into fuel for our bodies. Go into that stomach area. And let's do a stomach reboot. The thing you often hear, spring cleanse. We're cleansing. It's springtime. Time to lighten up. So let's do an energetic one, because just as we might want to drink juices, eat salads, we also, along with our physical body, need to look at the energetic body. So what's energetically going on in the stomach and upper intestines? If you can, shrink yourself into this tiny little presence and put yourself in your stomach and your upper intestines. As if you're exploring, looking around. Is there any colors, any objects, anything that might need cleared? Anything foreign that doesn't belong? Anything that needs help with digesting? And so what I'm picking up intuitively is that some of you have stone-like structures in there. So these things that have kind of crystallized, events, old food, things that have not processed properly. So I want you to, in your mind's eye, if this resonates with you, bring in your breath, and as you inhale, envision these hardened places, these stuck places softening, and as you exhale, let them liquefy and let them go down through the stomach, the upper intestines, melting into the lower intestines, near the colon, ready to be released. Letting that stuck energy go. replacing the subconscious message that life is too much, I can't digest life, we're going to replace it with, I have all my needs met, I can properly digest life and transmute it into gold. Take a couple more deep breaths. And then as you, if your eyes aren't open, you can begin to open them, come back to the room. Thank you for joining me. It always helps me to ground. I can just start talking on this show without, with an open channel, without any focus. It really helps me to meditate first and align. So before I read from the Mastery of Love book, let's just share a little bit about spring cleansing, how it is that time. And I know, Iggy, you garden, and you, I feel like I've heard you talk about cleansing. What's some of the ways that you, or what, if it is important to you, why is it important to you, and how do you do that for yourself? Or what have you been in your experiences with cleansing?
Definitely, I use sage a lot, Palo Santo, sweetgrass. Mm-hmm. But I actually like to go outside and just walk barefooted. That's a cleansing for me, just having my feet, you know, kind of transfer of energy, you know, you let release. Earth takes it, and then Earth gives you back, which is kind of nice. I actually went to the park when we had a really nice day, like one of the nice days we had. I was walking barefoot in the park, just feeling everything, the grass, the mud, you know, and everybody's watching me walking barefoot. Like, it was kind of like an odd thing, you know, like I hadn't seen anybody do that in a while. But, yeah, but that's what I do. And then I love to take my showers, you know, and just – sing in the showers and do my cleansing in the showers. good old water.
Good one. Those are really good ones. My mom always tells me, and I don't always remember to do it, she said her therapist taught her, because, you know, the therapist, she was hearing, you know, all kinds of stuff all day long and pick up her client's stuff, as we often all do at work. And she would say the affirmation with each shower. She would say, I'm washing away other, you know, the stress of the day. I'm taking away, you know, I'm washing away what no longer serves or what wasn't mine. And I thought, what a great, I'm all about practical and that everything is, you know, I did some scientific research because apparently I have a scientist in me, which I denied my whole life. My mom's a scientist. I'm like, it's a bunch of shit. It's brand new. Science is, you know, all hypothesis, primal, or like we have an ancient intelligence that lives within us. But there is, it's complementary. It really is. And there's actually little electrodes, and I might be saying the wrong word, but there's little things that that are, it's like a, not even like a magnet. It's almost like a hook and socket or like a key and a keyhole. There are these things on the bottom of our feet that are meant to be, that hook in with the earth. And I've actually felt it like drain, like the energy draining out that stuff that doesn't serve. It can be really intense to go earthing, but
sure,
it's imperative. The other one that I've been doing is lemon water, which I started about a week or a month ago. And that's supposed to improve digestion. But my next cleanse I want to try, I've never been able to do like a juice cleanse or a salad cleanse. I'm so emotionally attached to my food. So I know, you know, if there's anyone else out there that's like, you know, you hear about, oh, and my friends are like, I'm doing a week-long juice cleanse. And I'm like, oh, my God, I had to get a colonoscopy, couldn't eat for a day, and I almost murdered my entire family. Like, I don't understand how you're doing that. But, you know, to each his own. I'm a human being. So I've always wanted to do one. I'm like, is there some way that I can do that? So I think it's called Kachari or Kachitari, something like that. In the Indian Ayurvedic tradition, you make this meal and you eat it. I met a woman named Jasmine who is an Ayurvedic coach, and she said, eat this meal once a day, or I'm sorry, all day long, once a week as a cleanse. So I might make that my own, because that's what I often do and what I often promote is, like, listen to your body. Like, if a teacher, instructor, anyone, like, says you should do this, always check in. And so maybe every other week, I don't know, but how neat to give my digestion a break and heal. So good stuff. Yeah, I wanted to cover a little bit of the spring cleanse and also let anyone know who's in the Ohio area that I've teamed up with Maggie Harden. She has this, and I think you've seen it, or maybe I know you've been to the All Life Center, Iggy. She has a bed and breakfast, an Airbnb, and it is so quaint, mm-hmm. so amazing. And she asked me to come out there and do something, and so Spirit said a spring cleanse sleepover. So she's going to take herbs from her land, from the sacred land, and make bathing bundles, and we're going to have a fire cleansing, because, you know, water's probably more cleansing than fire, but, you know, fire is so cleansing. I was going to say, what's more cleansing than fire? Water. We're going to get we're going to get the fire going, and we're going to have this amazing, what's great about this retreat is that it's only $100. You get the classes, food, a night stay, which is usually $100 at Airbnb. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a really strong medicine, I can feel. So that's on the 20th of this month. And I think we have like 4 or 5 rooms more open for that. It's a new project. So yeah, that's it for
awesome.
The spring cleanse.
Good. Is that open to men and women, or just women only?
I think it's open to men and women, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, mostly the women want to do the spiritual bathing and the herbs. I haven't had any men sign up yet, but, you know, everyone is welcome. All right. Let's check in with the book before we take some calls or do our readings. This book is like going, wah, 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 speak, Dawn, speak from me. The perfect relationship. Ooh, yes, I want to know all about that. All right, Spirit, so let's read from this book. Tell us what we need to hear about the mastery of love. In our mind, we create that part of us that is always judging. The judge is judging everything we do, everything we don't do, everything we feel, and everything we don't feel. We are judging ourselves all the time, and we are judging everyone else all the time, based on what we believe and based on a sense of justice and injustice. Of course, we find ourselves guilty, and we need to be punished. The other part of our mind that receives the judgment has the need to be punished is the victim. That part of us says, poor me, I'm not good enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not intelligent enough. Why should I try? Wow, that right there, I can really relate to that inner critic, inner judge. And though that is not the strongest voice that I have anymore, it's still subconsciously ingrained in me. Like it's that should voice, like, I should have this. They should be. My partner should be doing this. Oh, if you want to be my friend, you should be non-judgmental. If I need to cancel last minute, you should. It says here, when you were a child, you could not choose what to believe and what not to believe. The judge and the victim are based on all those false beliefs you didn't choose. When that information went into your mind, you were innocent. You believed everything. The belief system was put inside you like a program by the outside dream. The Toltecs call this programming the parasite. The human mind is sick because it has a parasite that steals its vital energy and robs it of joy. The parasite is all those beliefs that make you suffer. Those beliefs are so strong that years later, when you learn new concepts and try to make your own decisions, you find those beliefs still trying to control your life. Ooh, how many times do you deal with that when working with clients, Iggy?
There you go. I notice it.
I notice it, and I just have so much empathy. I'm like, you know, and I don't know what the solution is to the parasite. I mean, obviously, even though I'm feeling old because I turn 39 next month, but I'm feeling young too. You know, I'm feeling all of it. I'm like, I don't know, like, what the solution is to the parasite other than maybe giving it a voice. Like, I guess the most recent thing I've been doing is listening to the Wisdom Keeper voice, which I think is the eternal part of me. I call her Wisdom Keeper. And honestly, she's getting a little bit more strong than the critic, who the critic is, right? Riding the back of the parasite. The critic is like, yeah, giddy up, parasite. Like, when I read that, I think about, and I often say it's our culture, it's the parasite. But what I like about the Toltec tradition and Don Miguel Ríos is that he's speaking about it, you know, being this, maybe you can explain it in a different way, Iggy, but like this, you know, this belief system, that this grand illusion, the Maya, that was created, and it does serve a purpose of some sort, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think everything comes in divine timing, so some things will present themselves in a certain place, a certain time. I know you and I have had this conversation before, but I don't think anything's wrong or right. It just is at that moment.
Yes.
And it serves us or it doesn't.
Yeah, I posted that poem the other day that I read. It's been about a year ago, a month ago, when my friend from high school died of a heroin overdose. And I read the joy and grief, because grief, I mean, that is something that is one of the most potent. It's a very potent emotion. And, you know, what I found through grief, through losing my father and losing, you know, parts of my best friend, and from losing, like, different things in my life that are, like, they're not coming back. It's done. The poem speaks about how it's used me as a cup, and it's carved me. That grief has carved me into a container that can hold more joy. The only thing with that, so this is very multidimensional, is that, yeah, that's true. But after so much suffering, sometimes, you know, the cup, I feel like, has to stay hollow. The parasite or the critic says, you know, there's more suffering coming. Stay hollow. Don't fill with joy, because if you fill with joy, something else is just going to come in and punch that joy out of your cup. That's just me being honest. That's just, and I'm saying that in case people can relate. You know, like, joy is something that I, you know, that is one of my most uncomfortable emotions, because I'm so terrified to, you know, to live in the honesty and the joy. I mean, knowing that we live in a world of polarity and more grief's coming eventually. Oops. Took all my books and threw them everywhere. All right, so let's see. It says, sometimes the little child inside you comes out. This is the real you that stays at the age of 2 or 3 years old. You're living in the moment, having fun, but there is something pulling you back. Something inside you feels unworthy. Oh my gosh, I just said this before I read it. Something inside you feels unworthy of having too much fun. An inner voice tells you that your happiness is too good to be true. It isn't right to be too happy. All the guilt, all the blame, all the emotional poison in your emotional body keep pulling you back into the world of drama. You see, the parasite spreads like a disease from our grandparents to our parents to ourselves, and then we give it to our own children. We put these programs inside all children the same way we train a dog. Humans are domesticated animals, and this domestication leads us into the dream of hell, where we live in fear. The food for the parasite is emotions that come from fear. Well, no wonder Spirit wanted me to read this. I was just talking about the fear and the... So let's finish the food. Okay, so it comes from fear. Before we get the parasite, we enjoy life. We play. We are happy like little children. After that, but after all that garbage is put into our minds, we're no longer happy. We learn to be right and to make everyone else wrong. We need to be right. Our need to be right is the result of trying to protect the image we want to project on the outside. We have to impose our way of thinking, not just into other humans, but even to ourselves. Oh, that's some good stuff right there.
Yeah. And you kind of said some of those things before you read the pages off that book.
I know. That's how my readings go. When people come in for sessions, I channel, and then I'm like, all right, now let's pull your cards. And then I'm like, okay, the cards basically just said what I just said, or, you know, what flowed through. But one of my favorite teachings of Yeshua is return like a child. Like when I've had my encounters with the dimension, the frequency of the Yeshua teachings, it's, first of all, I get so frustrated. Like, you guys got me all wrong. You're not supposed to, like my daughter just went to, I don't care if it's controversial because I don't try to please anyone anymore. I could care less. But she went to a play the other day. Her school took her to this play, and she came home horrified. She goes, they told me in order to live, I have to eat Jesus and then drink his blood. And I mean, she was just disgusted. And I went, you know, I'm wondering, what do you think was really meant there? What was teaching got askew there, you know? And she was like, you know, we talked about living in that way, which is freedom, like a child coming back to a two-year-old. Part of that, and the emotional piece keeps coming in, is feeling your feelings when they come up and not putting a story to them. So, like, I was chatting with a friend the other day who suffers. Sorry. I got to grab my dog, of course. Who suffers so much by that parasite. I mean, we all do, but she's like, he said, she said, they're doing blah, 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 doing. They're doing this to me. And I'm like, let's take away the story and get to the feeling. What are we feeling? You know, and children, they don't stay in the, little children don't stay in the story very long. I mean, I'm sure, like, you have the best recollection of this right now, Iggy, with Liliana, you know, seeing like, oh, she could feel something real strongly and then it's done. She's not hanging on to any aspect of anything. It's just done. And so that's been my emotional.
She's funny. Liliana's funny because when the other day the cable wasn't working, the internet went down or the cable was chipped. I don't know, the dog, something happened. And I'm kind of frustrated. I'm down there trying to fix it. And I'm underneath the chest there where it sits. And she comes up and she puts her hand on my back. She says, you okay? She says, you okay? She pats me on my back. She's like, it's okay. She goes, I'm going, you know, you're right. It's going to be okay. It's just the cable, right? She goes, it's okay. It was just so cute. I was just like, oh, my God. Just wanted to cry in that moment, you know. Just, some things aren't really as bad as we think they are. We just make them worse because we just enhance that emotion. And just to watch her, she's back to playing, like you said, and she's back, bye.
Just a little compassion check-in, which is, you know, the last generations did not have that capacity for compassion at early ages. That's what's crazy about that is that the science and psychological books of, like, say, the 70s and 80s, they will tell you that a child does not have that type of embodiment for empathy until I think it's like 6, 7, or 8. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that such a small gal can be like, I love you, and I'm noticing you might have distress. Are you okay? It means that we're freaking evolving as humans. Mm-hmm. That is cool.
Yeah, and I told her, don't chew on Tide Pods or try to snort condoms like kids are doing today. She just started laughing. Can I share one story with you real quick? I know you got some things you want to talk about, but I thought it was really cool.
Yes. I would love that.
You're talking about
please.
These how kids are compassionate and stuff. Well, we went to go see my mom's gravesite, okay? And Liliana was there, and she's patting the ground, you know, like just like like she knows. I didn't even tell her what it was. She gets up. She starts walking around to all the graves. She comes up to this gravestone, and she starts to laugh, and she's laughing and laughing and giggling, and she's like, look, she's pointing out the grave. It's a grave of a little 10-year-old boy, okay? And the parents were there, too. And she's laughing, and she goes, look at all the people. And she, you know, she doesn't talk a lot, but she goes, look at all the people. Then she walked up to this other grave, and it said Marilyn J. And the last name couldn't read it, but that's Jake's mom's name, Marilyn J., and we were just, Jake's like freaked out. And we were all like, wow, this kid is just like, but then when she went up to the little kids' graves and was laughing and she just looked around like she saw all these people, it just blew my mind. You know, you hear about this stuff, but I actually experienced that. That was pretty amazing.
Oh, yes. Yes. Children know. And then there's kind of, I'm so glad you were able, you guys didn't say, no, you don't see that. That's the main thing that happens is that parents go, you know, when my daughter dropped to the ground at 2 and said, is the war coming and was shaking, I didn't ignore it. I went, wow, you were in a war, you know, like, or when she says, oh, I see a dragon behind you. Yeah, you see a dragon behind me. Like, if we, like, tell these kids, like if we go, yeah, that's real. Holy crap! I think that is the key to healing the parasite we were just talking about. Maybe that's one of the keys. Like maybe the parasite comes from self doubt because we were told from the time we were little, like, no, you don't see that. No, that's not real. No, or it's just ignored because we don't believe it. But you and I believe in that stuff, so we're like, yeah, girl.
Yeah.
Oh, I got chills when you told me about that. It's so sweet. The thing about Liliana is that you can look into her eyes and see how old her soul is. And that's something that strikes me today is like remembering being 5 and remember thinking I was a full grown adult. I didn't understand why people were treating me. And when I look at her, I could see the same thing. Like she doesn't see herself as a little kid. She's like, no, I'm a person.
Right. It's true.
I'm a full grown person, people.
It's true. I agree. I'll do a whole show on my grandkids next week. And all the cool stuff about them.
Oh, good. I hope I get to come see them after the kids' dance party. We just finished up a playlist for Saturday. If anyone, again, in the Columbus area has, if you're an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, a parent, and you have a kid of any age, my daughter's 12. We're going to have 80s, 90s, and now music, and we're going to have glow paints, body paints, glow sticks, snacks, costumes, and we're just going to, you know, my inspiration was I've been doing these dance parties and I've been like going to concerts and dances. And, you know, like, I guess one of my values in life is interdependence, community, you know, being with my family's kid. I mean, I have all these girlfriends and I don't even know much about their kids except for through Facebook. So I really wanted to bring families together. And also usually it's like, hey, I got a babysitter, now I can go out, or you know, do something with the kids that you might not actually like, oh, Magic Mountain, this is more for the kid, not me, or, you know, you go see a kid's movie, sure, it's okay, but you wouldn't have chose it. This was like, what can I, you know, facilitate that will be fun for everyone? And so that was my vision and getting closer to my goal of more tribal living, more the interconnectedness and community. So that's going to be this Saturday at 6:30. I think it's going to be only be an hour or two. So that'll be good, at Tribe 614 Yoga.
Nice.
On Bethel Road. So, yeah. I have someone calling in. Give me 1 second, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Sending their butts to voicemail. It's like no one calls me all day, and then I get to the radio show. People are like, hey, John, what you doing?
Well, let's take a really quick break. That way you can gather yourself a little bit. I don't know if you want to take some callers or not.
Sure.
Because we do have them.
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's take a...
Okie doke.
Take a quick 30-second break, and we're back.
Perfect.
All right, and we're back.
All right. I just heard Spirit tap on my door. That was interesting. That was a full-on knock, but no one there. What a great segue to get to our reading. Reading slash teaching. All right, I'm going to start shuffling the deck, and then, yeah, if anybody, I know I posted on Facebook, if anybody wants a little mini reading, or if you just want to ask a question on any of the topics or a comment on any of the topics, maybe someone else has kind of a perspective on, you know, the parasite or returning like a child that Iggy and I didn't talk about. So somehow I'm going to have to do this with a puppy in my lap. Come here, buddy.
Right.
We're ready.
And here we go. And it's spinning and spinning and spinning.
Ooh, that's creepy, Eggy.
I know, it's just funny.
Spinning and spinning. What's spinning?
It's like I don't have control.
Oh.
it's like the switchboard. I gotta try this. Hold on a second.
Whoa.
It's almost like I'm playing a roulette game.
I'm telling you, this is the Mercury of all Mercuries, I think. It's been interesting.
Yeah, I haven't seen a Mercury retrograde like this in a long time. It's like...
It actually worked in my favor. One day I was able to get a bunch of stuff for $1 off of Groupon. It was only supposed to be... They took like $10 off instead of everything was $1. I'm like, Mercury retrograde working in my favor. So cool.
I don't know what's going on, but maybe just do a reading. I can't get anybody through.
Yep. So
that's a first.
That's perfectly fine. Yeah, I love doing those. So if you're out there and you have a question, I want you to, and because it's Mercury retrograde, it's hard, a little hard to get through. I would like you to really focus upon your question because you will get the answer in this reading or a clue to your answer. If you want a more specific to your questions reading, I do, like I said before, phone or in-person readings in Columbus, Ohio. So, but for now, go ahead and tap deeply into your need and desire. Now, I often suggest that you don't so much ask an ego-based question, but one from your heart. But it's okay if your ego's terrified and needs to know when love's coming in next. Throw it in there. All right. All right, so here is our reading for anyone who is listening for April 2018. And I mean, I don't think you're going to be shocked if you're listening to the beginning of the show. Detoxification, spring cleanse, water. But they're also talking a lot, not so much about the food or, you know, the energy cleansing, but because we've already kind of talked about that, but they're talking about detoxing from the people around you. So raising your standards. Now, some of us can be, you know, part of the parasite, I think, is codependence. It's a loyalty to people, you know, just because we've shared intimacy or connection or deep experiences with friends, family, loved ones, coworker, whatever it is, does not mean that you need to continue that forever. We have something called, and I didn't coin this term, but I really like it, soul contracts. A soul contract, I believe, is when before you come to Earth, you say, hey, 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 Spirit, I'll meet you when I'm 12. You'll be my best friend through middle school. About 14, you'll move to Minnesota, but it's going to be a great soul contract. Can't wait, buddy. A soul contract could be, you know, hey, I'll meet you when I'm 18. We'll be married for 40 years, and then we'll get a divorce because I have another soul contract with someone else. And so what people don't understand is that they think we meet someone, we relate with them, and that we should relate with them forever. And that's simply not the case. It doesn't mean you have to be really negative and ditch people in a horrible way. You can do it in a loving way, but it is time to raise your standards. You're not going to be able to go into the next level of your path, the next place you're supposed to be, until you let go of some of these toxic relationships. Spirit's showing me about doing it in a really loving way. So, you know, a lot of spiritual teachers, they talk this talk. Yeah, it's fine and dandy. They're saying the same thing. What I'm saying is give me a practical effing way to do it, right? Like, don't just say, let go of the old and bring in the new. It's like, okay, well, that's easier said than done. Like, give me a freaking way to do it. So, I'm serious. Like, it's so old. I'm like, you're all saying the same thing. I don't even know if you're living it. And some of it's woo-woo-y, some of it's practical, but I like to be specific as a teacher, you know? And so specifically, you know, one of the most helpful ways when you cannot get through to people is visualization. So you cannot, you know, you've been trying to get through to this person, you've been trying to relate, you've given them compassion, you've given them understanding, but they are so infused with that Toltec parasite we're talking about that they cannot have compassion like Liliana. They do not have the ability to see who you are and what your intentions are because they're so ingrained with their own story. You can't change that. You can't change them. You don't have to be cruel to them. It's time to let them go. So Spirit's simply saying as part of your spring cleanse, think about the people that you're feeling loyal to but you're really done with. And instead of taking any physical action upon letting them go, I want you to go into meditation, or you can keep your eyes open, but I want you to take that person and visualize them in your hand, and I want you to thank them for their soul contract, you know, like thank them for the great times and the things they've taught you. And then you cocoon them up and let them turn into a butterfly and fly away. Go to their next soul contract. And so you might hear in the spiritual world about visualization and ceremony, and there's so many ways to do it. In this case, you know, I find before we can let something go, we really have to thank it for what it was. Even if we think the person's a jerk and they're, you know, not behaving the way we want, or they're, you know, we're just like, man, I'm so over you. There's something about the completion process. There's something that happens in that cocoon before something's transmuted. And it has a lot to do with honoring. A lot of times when I'm doing readings and people's ancestors come in, they say, we want our stories shared. We want the tears that we didn't get to cry to be cried. We want to, you know, experience things. So, but most of all, they want their experiences honored, not forgotten. It's the same with living people, really. So raising your standards, the sexuality card is coming up in the fairy deck. Let me see what she wants to say. She's a very pretty But innocent. It's funny, this deck I think was made in like the 90s, and she looks so 2018, this fairy. She's just been waiting. Okay, so she has a blue vase, or vase is what I call it, but I heard some people call it a vase. Thought it'd be fancy. And she's very blue, you know, is calming and healing. And there's this highlight around her throat chakra, her mind. She's saying, you know, sexuality has kind of been about stimulating certain body parts and the more animalistic. You know, at the very beginning, we did that guided meditation that spirit guided through me. And we said we got our lower, you know, organs and vibration, and we got our higher. And there's this need to kind of like calm the mind and to communicate more with our loved ones and about our sexuality. And if we want more, spring is human mating season. That's what I call it. Like, we do want to be in our maiden night energies. Like, no matter if you're, you know, 16 or 80, like, we're all fresh and new around this time of year. And so, yeah, there's this need mostly to, like, verbally connect. There's something about the human experience where we're, again, trying to be understood and trying to understand on a whole new level, right? Because that creates intimacy. That creates a depth in our sexuality and expression. She's also saying that this blue vase, this blue vase is, she keeps calling it a vase. I would never do that. This blue vase beside her is an empty container. It's a container that, like, wants to, like, you guys are out there are craving new experiences and calm ones. Not necessarily, I mean, they can be exciting, but not necessarily like, you know, maybe skydiving, but like calm, interconnected groups and nature. And so she's calling that in. Let's see here. Visualization is really big in this reading, guys. So if you're like, if you were going to call me and go, hey, Dawn, I would like this job. Am I going to get it? Then I would say visualize what you want to the T to happen at that job and then feel how good it feels in your body. That's my manifestation, Melchizedek 101 to people. It's like, you know, people believe there's the affirmations and we say them and then it happens. The piece people forget is the feeling it. Your cells have to know how good it feels, and then it can bring it in. Isn't that neat? And then the last part of the reading is kindness. Kindness. So being around animals and children, and if you don't have the opportunity to get into that soft energy, finding it for yourself. You know, like embodying that for yourself, your inner child, because there is just such a softness about this month, about this energy, so much blues, so much water, so much, again, returning like a child. And I guess what I'll say is you can't do that if you're hanging around old, crotchety, toxic people. And when I say old, it doesn't mean, that's not an age. I'm saying like, ugh, they're just... Let them turn into a butterfly and fly on to their next thing and then move on. Let spirit handle the rest. And
I like
that's
that.
About it for that reading. Mm-hmm.
I can relate to that one.
Oh, good. Me, myself, I get real excited when I see the sexuality card. I'm just like a... I'm not saying that as like, you know, in like a cultural parasite perverted way. I'm just like this eternal wanting to taste, touch, experience, and create. And, you know, my manifestation abilities have upped their game. Or that's probably not the right term, but they have like, you know, they're constantly expanding at such a rapid rate. And I swear to God, I'm having deja vu as I say this, as if I said it the last time I did the radio show. So and I recently read that deja vu, when you have that, that means it's your truth. And it is true to me, and that you know, we are these master creators, and the only thing keeping us from saying, I would like an apple, and an apple popping in our hand is that parasite, is that great illusion that we aren't who we are. And there's little bits and pieces of me that are remembering, and I'm sure you guys are remembering too. Just believe in them, and they can be there with the doubts. Like, we can have the wisdom keeper with the critic. You can have the, I should be doing this, 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 and this with the, you know, all is well in my world. Both of those aspects of you can be in the same space. That is your happily ever after. People think their happily ever after is going to come in when everything's perfect. No. It's not going to pop off like that. This is not Cinderella. So I like the sexuality.
It's funny,
and I really
talking
like...
about parasites. You know,
yeah, tell me.
Did you see my article that I posted on Facebook about viruses that actually hold the consciousness, our memories? They're doing some research on the brain about viruses. Yeah, it's still up there. I don't think I took it down. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
It's pretty fascinating.
Tell me one more piece about it. So, like, a virus as in, like, the flu or something like that? Or what kind of virus?
No, there's certain types of viruses that live inside of our brain. And somehow they help conduct the consciousness to, you know, fire the synapses in your brain. The more of these that you have, the more memory you can retain. So they're doing some research for Alzheimer's and different stuff. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Because I was going to ask you earlier what you thought about if a lot of us, the things that we do, there's so much inside of us, like small little things, viruses, bacteria, and all this stuff, and they all have their own consciousness, they all have their own ways of living and doing stuff. This is something we you and I have to do a show on together sometime.
Yes, please, because I'm totally into this stuff. I want to read that article. That is my jam. I sound like a repeat record, but I was just watching Gaiam TV. You guys are going to think that's all I do all day, but what the heck? It's great. It's great information when you're training a puppy. And it had this guy who was an experienced scientist on, you know, they say that the gut was our first brain. So that's why I really can't wait to read this article you're talking about, because the gut has more microorganisms in it. Like, our body is basically, I think he said 80% these microorganisms or, you know, viruses, all these things. We're only like 20% human material. We're actually like made up of all these little bacteria. And my mind was, it sounds like we were like getting the same downloads this week. And the crazy part about the intestinal one is that I was taught, or I thought I was taught, that I eat my food and then the acid digests the food and then my intestines soak in the nutrients. That is not the case. Those little microbes that live in your body, they actually eat the food first, and then the bile from the little microorganisms is what we digest. I was like, whoa, my mind's blown.
Yeah, the final place of digestion is in the bloodstream.
I love it. I love this
stuff.
Right.
It's interesting.
It's cool. It is spiritual, and science meets each other. I had no idea. And they found that you could put, so of course they were doing experiments with mice or something, and they were taking like violent mice or aggressive mice, and they were putting the bacteria from their gut in calm mice, and the calm mice would get violent. So like the bacteria in our gut can actually promote our behavior as well. So this will be very complimentary information to what I just learned. It's so interesting. I want to get some really high quality, good bacteria for my gut. I mean, I do believe that half the depression, half the anxiety, that anxiety disorder that I struggled with, it was spiritual, it was about empathic, but a piece of it too was poor bacteria in my gut. It happened right after I had two sets of steroids from, what is that main steroid they give everyone for everything? They give it to you if you got the flu for your lungs. They gave it to me because I had poison ivy. It's I'm sure people out there know what I'm talking about, because they prescribe this steroid. I don't remember it until the last 2 years. But they give it to you for everything. Well, it throws your entire hormonal and stomach off balance. And then I went into 8 months of recovery from that. Now, granted, the poison ivy was going into my eyes. It was creeping near my throat. Like, it was not, like, thank goddess we have a weird steroid that could stop it. But still.
Yeah, now you know why I'm so involved in Nemenha, because we study all this stuff.
Oh, I did not know you guys studied all that stuff. Very cool.
Oh, yeah. I sent it to you, so it's in your inbox. I guess
perfect.
We're out of time.
We are out of time. Well, that was perfect. That was a great show.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Sorry for those who couldn't get in, but I hope that that reading helps. If you have any questions, you know, you can go to dawn-thompson.com, and all my information's there. If you go to Dawn of the New Era on Facebook and like that page, you can get all of my events and sales for readings. I have free offerings that I do as well, such as a spiritual dance party the third Thursday of the month. This month we're going to have Kirtan. I haven't sung that in years, and I'm excited the Bhakti Mamas are going to come perform for us. So yeah, all kinds of exciting things coming up. Happy spring, and much love and many blessings.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, Dawn. Thanks for doing your show. We love when you're on here and sharing your insight with us.
Thank you, Iggy. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, my sister. Bye-bye.